now, a lot of questions and a long set of conditions. Russian President Vladimir Putin said he is in favour of Donald Trump's 30-day ceasefire so long as his questions and conditions are dealt with. Ukraine's President Zelensky dubbed Moscow's response very manipulative. So what next? And is there any chance of a fair peace for Ukraine? I've been hearing from Richard Sheriff, former Deputy Supreme Commander of NATO.
Well, I think Ukraine has done absolutely the right thing, that this gives them a chance to at least stop the fighting for 30 days. But let's be, it also puts the onus very firmly on Russia. As we are seeing, Putin is coming up with a long list of issues, a long list of requirements. He's stalling in order to get as much advantage on the ground as possible from a military perspective, but also to put Ukraine on the back foot. And I think the bottom line is, of course, that we have to assume that whatever even if there's a ceasefire agreed at some stage, Russia will inevitably break it in the future.
And Putin's terms and conditions effectively sound like they amount to a surrender from Ukraine, which, even if they agree to, you're saying he's likely to break in the future.
Yeah, I mean, the demands that Putin is putting on Ukraine, he's not backed off one iota from his maximalist demands, which include, for example, NATO having to withdraw to its pre-1997 boundaries, which, of course, is a complete non-starter. But it means Ukraine surrendering large amounts of territory. And it's not just territory, it's people. It's surrendering people to the brutality of Russian occupation, neutralizing Ukraine, demilitarizing Ukraine, and installing a puppet government in Kyiv, effectively removing Ukrainian sovereignty. And that is simply a non-starter, clearly.
Yes, indeed. And he was talking about Belarus yesterday, wasn't he, as the perfect example of a good neighbor relationship with Moscow.
And that just sums it up, exactly that. Belarus, a client state, and that's what he wants from Ukraine. He wants Ukraine brought back into the Russian Empire, because at the end of the day, Russia has only ever been an empire, and Putin is thinking in imperialistic terms.
So we have President Trump saying yesterday he thought that the reaction from the Russian president was promising, that he didn't want to talk about using his leverage against Putin yet. So is he going to give him what he wants? And he seems to trust, doesn't he, that any deal Putin would make with Trump, he would keep, having broken every other agreement he'd made on Ukraine before.
Well, to the first point, I think, you know, you only got to look back at the United Nations vote, where Russia and America and North Korea line up against a European motion condemning Russian aggression over Ukraine. So you have to ask the question, is Trump a Putin fellow traveller? And all the indications are that the answer to that is yes.
What's the best Ukraine can hope for in this process? What's the worst, and which is more likely?
The worst is that there is a Trump-brokered agreement which gives Putin what he wants, because that allows Putin to not only to do what he wants to Ukraine, and he will, even if there's a ceasefire, he'll come back for more until he's achieved that. And of course, the potential there is that he then moves on, is seeing disarray in NATO, America decoupled from American security, to have a go at the Baltic states. And put simply, that means that we in the rest of NATO, the European countries of NATO, will be at war with Russia, which is too ghastly to contemplate. The best, which is highly, highly unlikely, is that there is a complete volte-face change of approach from America that says the only way we're going to get peace is to defeat Russia, to stop them dead, to make Putin realize he's never going to get what he wants in Ukraine. But I'm afraid that seems a long way away.
So then we're left with a situation of some kind of unsatisfactory ceasefire, the threat of a resumption of conflict at some point that would suit Moscow, NATO without US guarantees, the UK and Turkey outside the EU, the EU divided internally. So where does European security come from? What can it offer Ukraine?
Well, European security comes from Europe, the like-minded nations of Europe pulling together. And I think we're seeing that. We're beginning to see that. I think the work being done by President Macron, Prime Minister Starmer, bringing together senior European leaders recognizing that Europe's now got to stand on its own. Actually, the divisions between EU and non-EU are almost academic now. What matters is European, the like-minded nations of Europe coming together, identifying what gaps need to be filled by American drawdown, American withdrawal, and then doubling down on defense spending, on weapon production, on industrial capacity, in order to provide. And it's not going to happen overnight, of course, and it's going to take time, effort, leadership, sacrifice to get there. But that's the way. This is Europe's moment, and Europe's got to step up to the mark. And I think, you know, with the right leadership, Europe can absolutely do that.
And if Europe does step up to the mark, as you describe, how long can Ukraine continue without US support? How long can they continue to fight on?
Well, it's you know, it's a challenging one, this, and it's a really tricky question to answer. But I think if Europe really, if this is a come as you are party now for Europe, it's got to empty its arsenals, invest, give significant investment to Ukraine, because the Ukrainians are really good at turning around defense equipment quickly and with agility. If Ukraine could hang on for another year and a half, I think there's a real chance that the balance of advantage shifts towards Ukraine, and that the Russian economy is really in difficulties. All those challenges are going to come to pass, and Ukraine will hold on. And the bottom line is this: all my friends tell me in Ukraine, we know that if we stop fighting, we will die as a nation. We will go on fighting with your support or without your support, and I think Ukraine will do that.
And even if Zelensky wanted to do a deal, would his people accept it?
Well, that's a question for the Ukrainian people, to be honest. But I can't see President Zelensky accepting any deal which surrenders Ukrainian sovereignty in the way that Putin is demanding.
The assessment there of Richard Sheriff, former NATO Deputy Supreme Commander in Europe.